Hey there, this is Eugene, your Rambling iOS developer, and today I would like to ramble about work-life balance or code-life balance. Because there's a difference, I think, work-life balance and just coding and life balance. I think those are two different things, so let me explain. Work-life balance is when you have your work hours when your work is balanced and you have your life, things that you do outside of work, which may include coding. And code and life balance, code life balance is when you really dedicate a time of your day or of your week when you don't code, when you just relax. Because even if you code and there's a difference. There's a difference coding for work and coding for fun. And coding for fun may not look like it's a chore. It's a job because you're creating something new. You're learning something new. It's definitely more fun than coding for work, for sure. At least per my experience, I love my job. I love coding and building iOS apps for the money for my job, but I think I enjoy a little bit more working on my personal projects because I can be as creative as I can. But where's the balance? Because sometimes, once in a while, I see on Twitter people asking, like, how many hours should I code, or what is the code life balance, or what do you do outside of coding? And I would like to address that. I think code-life balance, it really depends where you're at in your career. It's really important to have your life as balanced as you possibly can. It may not be always true or like really, really passable, especially when you're trying to advance in a new career or in a new field, or when you're trying to enter the industry. So let's dive into it a little bit more. So when you're starting programming, when you're starting developing development, and you're learning new programming language, you're learning new tools, you're learning new frameworks, and you're learning new ecosystem. So it takes a lot of time to wrap your head around new technology, and especially if you've never programmed before, the learning curve is extremely, extremely steep. So, and I would say it is normal for you to code a good amount of time, a lot of time when you're just starting out. So when I hear people code after work, so let's say they're not working as a software developer or in tech, so they work in a different industry, but after work they come home and they code for at least 2 to 4 hours every day, and on the weekend it's significantly more. And it can be difficult, and it can be difficult. It might be necessary, and I think this is how I learn. So if I'm learning new technology, if I'm learning new framework, I spend a lot of time learning and practicing that technology, and it's totally normal. But when you mature and when you improve in your skill set, it is totally okay to take a break and have your code life balance a little bit more well balanced rather than when you're learning how to code. And I think it is important to remember to have that balance, because when you're learning, you might be excited about new stuff. You might be really into coding. You might be really curious about learning new technology. But let's say you're already in the industry and you already have a job as a iOS developer. I will focus on iOS developers because I'm an iOS developer. I don't really know how it is for web developers. So if you are not an iOS developer, I'm sure the experience is really similar, but I'm focusing on my iOS people. So when you already have a job as an iOS developer, it is it is really natural for you to want to have a co-life balance, to do something after. It's totally normal for you after work not wanting to code all the time or play with new frameworks and new stuff. That's totally normal. And I think at that stage, it's really important also to have a balance between your work, what you do for work, and maintaining your skill set as an iOS developer. Because when you're working at the big company, you are probably not gonna work on super fundamental iOS stuff. I mean, once in a while, you have to build a very complex UI. Once in a while, you have to build everything from scratch. But majority of the time, you're working with already existing architecture and code base. And what you do, you just provide or develop new features, or sometimes your function as a developer can be really, really narrow. So let's say your team supports only, I don't know, just a random example, only like navigation. So you build everything about navigation. You normally don't build the UI. You normally provide logic how to navigate through your app. Or let's say you're working on the team that works only with the video. So you're probably gonna have really good practice with IV foundation, but you're not normally gonna build like standard iOS stuff. And you're probably not gonna use right away new features that come after WWDC, because A, for large companies, they are not really ready to drop support for older versions. So it normally takes a few years for big companies to get up to speed with new Apple API. It's, per my experience, it's normally between 3 to 4 or 5 years to get up to be able to use those APIs. Depends on how many versions back you have to support. So it's also a thing. And when you're at that level, I think it is, you don't have to code every day if you don't feel like when you're already in the industry, but it's important to have time, learning time for yourself, where you can play with new frameworks, play with new APIs, try new things, explore new things, so your skill set is pretty sharp, because every job is temporary, and at some point you're gonna end up on the job market yet again. And when you are in the job market, you kind of have to know really well those iOS fundamentals. You have to be able to demonstrate those really, really significant iOS skills and that companies will ask. And as you know, the longer you are at your company, new technology come to the market. For example, SwiftUI. SwiftUI is making its way through the job market. More and more companies are looking for someone with SwiftUI. And at my company, for example, we don't really use SwiftUI right now. But like, if I were to go in the job market right now, I have to demonstrate my ability to use SwiftUI pretty fluently. Not for all companies, but it definitely it's a significant plus to your resume. So what I normally do, I normally try to schedule like an hour a day after, like, let's say Tuesday through Friday or through Thursday. I spend an hour learning new stuff and playing around with new stuff. Like here recently, I was working with Rx Swift and I was trying to learn Rx Swift and understand it better. So I spent an hour or two every day from like around Monday to Thursday, or Tuesday to Thursday, or Tuesday to Friday, just to get that skill set up, just to get myself up to speed with Rx Swift. But let's say I don't really code on the weekend. I don't really code on Monday. I do my stuff for fun. Sometimes I just spend time with my family. Sometimes I just do my own stuff. Sometimes I just watch YouTube, not technical YouTube, just for fun. So, but I do make sure that I have that window for my learnings and for practicing new skills as an iOS developer. How many hours per week or per day should you code? It really depends on where you're at in your career. I highly recommend you, like, because think about it this way. Think about it this way. When you learn, let's say, you go to medical school and you are learning to be how you in training how to be a doctor. And medical training is really, really intense for many, many years to be a good doctor. And as you are a doctor, when you went through your training and you're already MD and you can practice on your own, chances are you're not going to spend a lot of time studying medicine. Yes, you still have to keep your skills up to date. Yes, you still have to be knowledgeable and do continuing education, but it's not going to be as much as you were when you were in the medical school. So I think the same thing applies to programming, and luckily we don't have to spend many, many years studying how to code. Luckily for us in our industry, you can learn your key skills within a year or a year and a half. It's definitely shorter than medical education. And I think for your time when you're entering the industry, when you're learning new stuff, it's okay to code a lot. It's okay to co code spend a lot of time coding. But as you are in the industry, sometimes per my experience, I felt guilty when I wasn't coding, when I was just enjoying myself and doing something different. I really had to pause and ask myself, do I really have to code as much? Because I code at work, as I already mentioned, when you code for work and when you have to work with another architecture, it is fun, but it's also very challenging, and you do need a break. Your brain, your body needs a break from like one, sitting all day staring at your computer, and B, for just for your sanity, for your mental health. Because if you work really, really hard, nonstop, even when you already have a job, then you're gonna wear yourself out. And this is where the burnout comes into play, because you're tired, you don't get enough balance in your life, you don't have enough rest, you can't really enjoy your life. Because the whole point of you getting into tech industry and landing that tech job is for you to finally feel that financial freedom and finally use that resources, the money, like the way you want. Like you can travel, you can spend more time with your family, you can work remotely, you can buy new things and enjoy new things. So, and I think it's really important to reward yourself for your hard work and kind of take a step back and relax after work. So, for a while, I really felt guilty. Like, damn, I didn't really, I wasn't really coding today at all, or I wasn't really learning any. I haven't learned anything new today related to iOS necessarily or programming, and I feel guilty. But then I was thinking about it. So the whole point of me being in tech industry at the point where I'm at right now in my career is to have that financial stability and kind of reward myself for all the hard work that I've done so far. So, but also I understand the importance of continuous education, that like staying in touch with the community. So I make sure that maybe it's not as much as as it was before I landed the job. It was, but I definitely make sure that I have that window for me to just spend time for myself and do something different other than coding. So another factor that comes into play is when you're looking for a job. Let me put it this way. The way I look at Job hunting, it's like you have to pass another exam and you are prepping for the exam. Yes, you know the subject really well. Yes, you've done it so many times, but you like you, now you have to get a license to actually practice what you know. So, and this is the job interview. So, and when I'm on the job market, I normally go into that really hard working mode where I practice a lot. After work, I do a lot of algorithms and data structures, and also I'm just practicing building take-home projects, whatever they might be. They're usually pretty similar, if not all almost the same. So I practice to build out a really scalable solution to when the time comes for me to pick up a take-home project. It's rather easy, so I don't have to spend time like brushing up on like very elementary stuff that like I'm not necessarily doing every day, but I have to do it for like my take home project. So, and the job hunting can also it varies. It varies on the job market, it varies on how many positions are available, it varies on your skill set, like. Also, it varies on how good you are at algorithms and data structures, as well as how good you are at your domain knowledge on iOS stuff. So, yeah, during my job hunting period, I spent a lot of time brushing up and studying iOS development, and just to make sure that I know and remember all the concepts really, really well. I spent a lot of time reviewing WWDC because once in a while your employer asks you like what do you like about WWDC? And not that I don't remember. I just really when it comes to that, I just really want to be prepared to talk not just about one thing, but make sure that I pay attention to what's going on in the community. I pay attention to what's going on in iOS ecosystem, what new APIs are available. And normally, if it is a startup, they will ask you right away about that skill. Like, oh, like, have you heard about new way Apple does things? For example, Combine. Oh, like, are you familiar with Combine, even though it just came out? Or are you willing to learn with us because we really want to use that framework for our application or whatever that case might be? So that's a lot of preparation. But the good news is when you're looking for a job, it's not going to be the same as you were looking for your first job. So it's probably going to take you a little bit less time. Again, it depends on your skill set, it depends on your experience. So if you just have 1 year of experience as a developer, it's probably take a little bit more time, but you definitely have a year under your belt. It's going to be a little bit easier. But the point is, when you are searching for a job, it's okay to kind of work hard, prep hard. And when you land that job offer and sign that job offer, it's okay to take a break and just chill. And it's okay to do nothing. It's okay to be unproductive because this is where the balance comes in. You are not a robot, you're a human being, and it's important to unplug. So I'm really curious, and I will post this podcast on my Twitter and on my social media. And if you are following me and listening to this podcast, please let me know what is your routine, what is your code life balance looks like? If you already have a job, do you code after work? And how much time do you spend coding? And if you don't code, how do you like it? Does it change when you're looking for a job? Like, do you study algorithms and data structures? Do you study like iOS stuff or brushing up on iOS stuff that you haven't touched for a while? So let me know because I'm really, really curious. And I think this is it for this episode. I will ramble at you in my next episode. And thank you so much for rambling with me and have a good day.